Hey, what's up? Welcome to episode 115 of the Jock and Nerd Podcast. We're going to try to figure out why everybody wants to poke Mongo. Plus, we got news from Suicide Squad, Wonder Woman, Spider-Man Homecoming, UFC 200, the death of a major Marvel comic book character, and so much more in this edition of the Jock and Nerd Weekly for Thursday, July 14th, 2016.
It's the Jock and Nerd Podcast with your hosts, Anthony and Imran.
Jock and Nerd! Hi-yo, and welcome to the Jock and Nerd Podcast. My name is Imran.
My name's Anthony.
He's the jock.
And he's the nerd.
And completing our three-man geek booth live from the dungiest basement on the East Coast is Rugberto Bambino, but his friends call him Rugboy. Good earth to you, Rugs. How's it going?
Good earth to you, Imran. Good earth to you, Anthony. And what's up, motherfuckers?
That's right.
He did my leaving.
There you go. Look, he actually said good earth to you, Anthony.
That's great. Every time he says anything to start off the show, I just giggle. You can always hear me giggle in the background because I always find it funny.
He's not just, your greetings are the best. Listener, thanks for joining us. Regular listener, thanks for joining us. If you're a first-time listener, here's what's going to go down. This is kind of like our weekly Geekly Reader's Digest version of the Jock and Nerd Podcast. We got geek news, we got comic book reviews, recommendations, some sports talk, and then listener feedback, and then we open it up to you guys in the Blab as we are live on Blab and geek out with you. Lots of fun. Now, if you are a first-time listener, if this is your first Jock and Nerd Podcast you're thinking out, thank you, first of all, for listening. I want to highlight our last show with David Malofsky, episode 114. It was the 2016 TV Awards. Held by A Place to Hang Your Cape.
It's a website we're on.
Which is a website that carries our show, and it was a lot of fun reliving last season's worth of geek TV shows.
It was also complete bullshit.
This is why. I'm not going to spoil it. If you haven't listened, you have to listen, because the results are shocking.
Oh, shit.
Listener highway robbery in a lot of categories. When I listened back, I was like, wow, this is actually some pretty crazy results.
That makes you think, doesn't it, that the fans don't know shit?
It's very interesting.
Or there's too many fans of something that not very good.
Yes,
exactly.
Yes, like so Pokemon, like poking Mongo all week long. Now, I also want to mention, Rugs, this is your last recording with us because you're going on holiday. Rugs is going on holiday, aren't you, Rugs?
Yeah, I'm going to Romania.
Why are you speaking like we're from England? What are you talking about?
I don't know.
Bro?
Sorry.
He's going on vacation.
In America, it's called vacation. Although in the rest of the world, people say they're going on holiday. I just think
the rest of the world. America's where it's at, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, but we have listeners in Slovakia. They don't know what vacation is. What's up, Slovakia, by the way?
I don't know if you know what
we've even been saying this entire time.
I'm not sure what's going on. Rugs, you're visiting your homeland of Romania? That's great.
No, that's not why I'm visiting.
No.
I have to get my slack hole operated on, and, that was where I got this curse. So I'm going there and find a guy that can maybe assist me in a more professional manner, because I went to the doctors here. They don't know shit about felties.
No.
They act like I walk in there. They want to kick me right out.
Plus, it's cheaper. Surgery is cheaper overseas. This is kind of like Deadpool in the movie, going back to find the dude that made him Deadpool to turn him backwards. Rugs, I hope you don't get there, and the guy's like, well, look, I can't help you. Once a felty, always a felty. Sorry.
Hey, what if I come back a human being?
Oh, crap. That would be very creepy.
Like, I imagine I was restored to my youth.
Look,
before I became like this.
It's not all is lost, listener, because you are going to hear Rugs again in the next show, which we have pre-recorded. It's an awesome show, and I want to pimp it right now. We chatted with the game director of the upcoming Destiny expansion, Rise of Iron, Chris Barrett.
Geek Booner.
And it was awesome. Rugs, you really helped out with the video game questions. We get really geeky about Destiny. So, listener, I have something very important to tell you right now. If you have friends who are hardcore Destiny gamers, you are going to want to get them to subscribe to the show immediately. Tell them to just search Jock and Nerd in iTunes, go to jockandnerd.com/review, subscribe to the show. Why? Because Chris has some cool nuggets, a lot of good insight on the game, and you're going to gain XP points with your buddies by telling all your friends.
Yeah, and I think that we caught him off guard because we kind of know the guy. So he might have said some stuff that probably wouldn't have said in another interview. Who knows?
Absolutely, because
there's a level of comfortability there.
Yeah because I went to school with him, so I've known the guy for a long time, and it was we got some cool info out of him. Destiny fans, do not miss it. Tell all your Destiny fans. Subscribe right now.
Or if you're a Halo fan, too.
Or if you're a Halo fan, or if you like Bungie, if you like video games. Jordan the Pie says, Peyton even sent in a question. I think we got to that question. Thank you guys for sending in questions. He answered a lot of them. It's a lot of fun. So
this is like a nice little preview for the next show.
Absolutely.
But this show is going to be good, too.
This show's great. Speaking of this show, let's get it started.
The Jock and Nerd Podcast.
So the last Jock and Nerd Weekly, before we had started recording, this fucking Pokemon Go had just come out the night before. And
was it that? I thought it was that night.
It might have even been that night, because I was like, what the fuck is Pokemon Go? So Jordan had explained it in the pre-show. I actually put that little bit of audio up on the Patreon if you want to listen, because we kind of, Anthony, remember you came in and you were like, what are you talking about, cocaine? It's a lot like cocaine. And we don't really talk about video games much, but this fucking thing is just swept the world's attention and imagination. Now, Ruggs, have you played this at all?
This is what I did.
Okay.
I was like, oh, Pokemon Go. I'm like, I know about Pokemon. That was like about 20 years ago that it was cool.
Yeah.
You know? But okay. So Pokemon, I downloaded it, and then it asked me, can I fucking ass rape your phone for information? And I was like, fuck you. And I deleted it immediately. And I was like, I don't even want to play this. And then I like YouTubed a bunch of videos of people how to play it already. They fucking already uploading like how to guides and walkthroughs and shit. And I was like, this is the stupidest thing. This is like the Wii. This is like those, the Wii when everybody was like, I can play tennis on the Wii.
Yeah, that lasted for.
I also play tennis on my Wii. I want you to touch my Wii. And then you don't care about the Wii. Nobody cares about the Wii anymore. And no one's going to care about this in like 2 months.
Anthony, now you're a millennial. This seemed to hit a nerve with like kids in their early 20s and mid 20s who grew up with Pokemon and always wanted to play it in real life, maybe. Like they've lost their shit over this game. What's your relationship with the Pokemon?
So when Jord of the Pies was talking about Pokemon Go, I don't know if we got that on the show or not. It might have been pre-show, but
it's on the Patreon.
Okay, it's on the Patreon. Donate to Patreon,
please. That's right.
Exclusive content.
That's right.
She was talking about it, and I thought this was an app that's been out, because this is how unaware of games I am. I thought it was an app that's been out, and I was like, oh, this is whatever. This is another app. I did not realize how big this would blow up until literally the next day all of my fucking friends were playing this fucking game.
In one day.
Like, out. Yeah. Like, they were out at bars, like, oh, shit, there's a whatever over there. And I was like, what is going on? So my relationship with Pokemon Go, like Rugboy said, it was cool 20 years ago. I was into it. 20 years ago?
Yeah.
Or maybe 18, 6, whatever the number of years ago. I had the cards. I had the game. I had the Game Boy. I was at the first one at the fucking store to get the Game Boy, to get the red version or the gold version. So I was super into it. But then it was like a phase in my life, and it just kind of disappeared. Like, I was into it for a really good short amount of time, really intensely into it, and I've kind of left it behind. But I do understand that this is something that a lot of my peers have grown up with.
Yes.
So I see why they're all kind of playing it again. But for me, I think it's kind of late.
So you didn't even bother checking it out?
I still have not downloaded it. No, I know. I've seen it on other people's phones. I know what's going on now. I just have no desire to be out. I'm on my phone enough with texting and all these other fucking apps. I don't need to be on my phone walking around Chicago and getting killed.
So, look, guys, for research for the show, air quotes, research, I downloaded the fucking thing. But
I knew you would.
I played it for a hot second. But like Rugboy just said, I realized that it wanted full access to your Google account.
Oh, shit.
I was like, oh, fuck, revoke, delete, phew.
Can I interject real quick?
Yes.
They've actually fixed that.
At first, I was like, oh, fuck no, because I have other apps that have access to the Google account. None of them require full access. It's usually a thing or two. So, yes, they put out two updates where they fixed that. So I downloaded it again. I played it a little bit more. I get what the deal is. I get it's kind of magical in the sense that there's this crazy layer of world around you that, you know, you don't see. It's augmented reality, which is really nothing new. Starbucks had cups that would do this, where you'd hold the camera up to the cup and a little, like, snowman would start dancing around. Marvel Comics had an AR app where certain panels, you'd hold your phone over the panel and stuff pops up and things happen. But to make this a collecting, running around game, to get these gamers out of the house into the sunlight, causing sore legs, is crazy. I'll tell you one thing I wish I did a week ago was buy some fucking Nintendo stock. Because despite the fact that they don't even make this game, it's made by Niantic, their stock went up, what, $7 billion in 2 days? 25%?
Yeah, but like, it's like people are getting so like crazy about this. Like, put it in perspective, it's going to be like, remember Draw Something? Remember that everybody was drawing, sending each other pictures of their dick? Like, they're doing, like, you know, it was just one of those apps everybody was playing.
Candy Crush? It's no different than your Candy Crush. That was a big,
yeah. You know.
I would say the only difference is, and I'm not defending Pokemon Go. I'm not a fan of it. It's no appeal to me. But I think the appeal to people is that it was something from the childhood that has now come back and taken advantage. Granted, augmented reality is not a new thing,
right?
But for a lot of people, it is actually kind of a new thing.
Yeah.
Even Devin Faraci wrote about augmented reality as being like the next wave of gaming,
because
virtual reality is too cumbersome, but augmented reality is a lot easier.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I mean, technology has been around for a couple of years.
It's going to pass for sure, though, right?
It's a
How long do you give this, Imran?
Honestly, I think a week from now.
By the end of the summer, everyone will be over it and no one will care.
Yeah, in a couple of weeks, nobody's going to be talking about it. But so before, I just want to come into some of the unintended positive things that this has caused. A, it's getting people to walk around and fucking get exercise to the point where, like, the Chicago Animal Cruelty Society is like, hey, if you're playing Pokemon Go, why don't you come around here and help us walk some of these dogs and catch Pokemons at the same time, right? So Jordan the Pie says, I've walked like 40 kilometers, which leads me to the next point. It's teaching Americans metric.
Oh, shit.
It's making them use their brains. Everyone is like, how many kilometers? I got to find the Pokemon. What? There's a Squirtle a kilometer away. Single Rider 4 says in the chat, families are bonding. It's giving people to do something. Fine. Great.
But, I mean, all that's doing is taking your satellite map and then choosing random access points on that map and sticking Pokemon there. You're not really getting anything new. It's just that instead of you sitting at your computer and you find it, you walk through a virtual environment, they're just using it. It's even lazier than making a game. They don't have to design any levels. You just walk around where you are. Like, what is that? Like,
I have to say, this afternoon I went home for lunch and my dad happened to be watching Fox News. Yeah. I'm embarrassed to say. But they were fucking debating Pokemon Go and its like merits. I'm like, holy shit, it made it to Fox News. So like they were like talking about how it's like an evil thing. So it almost made me want to defend Pokemon Go. But then I was like, whatever.
It's everywhere.
It's being debated. Like it's being like the merits of this game are being debated. Like, is this a threat to society? Like, is this going to change?
No, I wouldn't go that far.
I just think
that people are hyping it up too much. That's all. It's okay. It's nothing bad about it. It's just a regular game. It's a game. Big fucking deal. Like, what, you know.
I think this is a psyop Darwinian social experiment put out by the CIA to distract us from all the shitty fucking things that have been going on in the news. That's the other thing, right? The timing of this, look, we had a lot of crazy shit happen in the last week in America. People, every other day, you're seeing some shit. This is a crazy, weird escape. People are getting out, fresh air, it's fantasy. It takes their mind. I think that also helped, because I got grown-ass men posting this shit on my Facebook. I think people just needed some kind of world to escape for a little bit. Now, talking about the news, every day there's been four fucking crazy stories about Pokemon Go related shit. I just wanted, look, I got a bunch of new, you guys pick out a couple. I wanted to go through a couple of these. For example, the first one, like that Friday came out, July 8th, Shayla Wiggins was exploring a river in rural Wyoming while trying to catch a water Pokemon and stumbled upon a dead body.
Oh, shit.
So there's shit like that. Now, motherfuckers are getting robbed. Because apparently you could drop lures to the Pokemon and sit back and just relax and be like, boom, give me a phone and wallet. Next. Boom, give me a phone and wallet. Next.
Yeah, Jordan the Pie has mentioned some guy falling off a cliff.
Guys have fallen. One. Yes.
Because he like went to he had to go. There was a Pokemon on a, like an undesignated, like dangerous spot, and he went over and the cliff. The rocks aren't stable and fell.
People are falling in ditches. This girl walked across four lanes of traffic on the highway and got hit by a car. If anything, it's going to thin out the herd. I got to tell you, Jose Dennis posted the best shit on Facebook. He goes, somebody should put a Squirtle 30 feet off a cliff. That'll thin out the herd.
Oh, shit.
I was like, you know, that's a good point.
You can't, I mean, you can't blame this on the game, though. This is just morons playing a game.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's going to, it's exposing the stupidity of
just
people.
You're scared to see who the real morons are.
People.
Like,
yes.
Okay. There's an idiot that's dangling himself off of an expressway overpass because he needs to get fucking, you know, Jigglypuff.
Jigglypuff. What the fuck is a Squirtle? Look, Jordan's right. She says people are losing common sense and they're losing their mind. A couple other weird things. Pokemon Go's are popping up in Auschwitz Holocaust Museum, at Arlington Cemetery, at the 9/11 Memorial. Please don't play Pokemon Go at the Holocaust Museum or at the 9/11 Memorial. It's just a little disrespectful. Another fun thing, the Westboro Baptist Church, you know those fuckers, is pretty much a club for racists and bigots. Pokemon Go's fucking with them. Apparently there's like a pink gay Pokemon in the Westboro Baptist Church, and people are showing up with names such as Love Rules All and Fight Hate and just trolling the Westboro Church, which is hilarious. Love is love.
I mean, maybe this is going too far, but anyone that gets like caught in traffic or like does something stupid while playing Pokemon Go, like that should be like the big social experiment to like expose the numbnuts in our fucking society, and then they should just be killed.
That's why I think this is like a government experience, like just round.
I'm kidding, but I think it just exposes the dummies.
Yes,
like businesses that are failing should start using this in advance. Like the Skechers store should start like having Pokemon in there, so people go in there.
You know what? That's a good point. If you are a smart small businessman, you could use this like Foursquare. If you have a kid-friendly establishment like a comic book store, you drop some lures in there, and you get these fuckers to show up, and then you sell them stuff. So that's one way.
Well,
to use
it. that doesn't sound good at all. What you just said.
No?
If you're kid-friendly,
I'm saying
lures in there, and you get them to wander in there, what are you saying right now?
You know, that's a great point, because you know who else loves this game and their stories? Fucking pedophiles in Nambla. Let me tell you what, multiple arrests of child molesters getting busted playing Pokemon Go with on probation with kids. It's exposing them. Here's a couple other fun headlines. U.S. soldier fighting ISIS catches Pokemon Go on the front line. Man finds Pokemon on wife's hospital bed while she's giving birth. There's Pokemon dick pics now. There's one of the Pokemon.
Imagine you're about to have sex with a girl, and then you just took your phone out, just looked between her legs, and there was a Pokemon there.
Hold on, baby. I gotta catch this Jigglypuff, and then I'll get right down to your Jigglypuff.
They're everywhere. You take a shit, you look in to see what you did, and then all of a sudden there's a Squirtle in there.
Another story I read, this guy went out at like 3 in the morning trying to find a Pokemon, and there was like two black dudes sitting over on the bench, and it was over there, and he went over there, he was talking to him, these cops roll up, and they thought it was a drug deal, and once they showed him the game, the cops start playing fucking Pokemon Go with them.
I don't buy that for a second.
I'm almost done with talking about Pokemon Go.
Okay, one last thing. one last thing, and then I'll answer the question. There is the law offices of Steered Associates in Los Angeles. They wasted no time. Headline, Los Angeles Pokemon Go car accidents, LA injury lawyer. They have a whole page to deal with injuries caused by Pokemon Go. They're ready to sue somebody. They're already covering accidents caused by Pokemon Go, pretty much because there's always someone to sue. Whether it's the other person, whether it's the game manufacturer, these motherfuckers, they waste no time. Anyways, gang, let's end with this. I want to say don't poke Mongo, because I feel bad for Mongo. And here's the question. Pokemon Go, Pokemon stop. Rugs?
Pokemon no.
All right. Look, I got. Look, here's the thing. We bash on this, but I'm a fucking 40-year-old man wearing a Spider-Man hoodie that reads comic books. It's kind of the same thing. What are you going
to
do?
Well, no. It's just. You have to at least be aware that this shit's out of control.
It's so out of control.
We're not saying it doesn't need to exist. I'm just saying that for this shit to get out of control, people are they got to like put shit into perspective. Just remember all the crazy fads that are going to be gone in like 2 weeks.
I mean, at the moment, it's bigger than like Tinder, Facebook, Snapchat in terms of downloads. But yeah, give it a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's the newest thing.
It's the newest thing. Nerds hating nerds. You're a big
remember when everyone was playing that mobster game?
Oh, Mafia for way early. There's always been
something. Come on, everyone was playing that shit.
But like,
I was on Words with Friends, mm-hmm. Trivia Crack for a while, and
I played Draw Something. It's just the latest thing. It just happens to actually send people into fucking traffic. Cars are jumping the curb. One other dude crashed into a tree because he's driving and playing Pokemon Go. He was okay, but if we could weed out some of the fucking idiots, good for Pokemon Go. All right, we got it out of our system. There will be no more Pokemon Go discussion from here on out, listener. You can be sure.
We should have bought Nintendo.
Thank God.
We should have bought some fucking stock, dude. Who would have thought? Like, unbelievable return. Those people are laughing their way to the bank. Let's move on to some DC movies. You guys, I'm getting excited for the Suicide Squad movie. It's coming out August 5th, very soon, a couple of weeks. And Entertainment Weekly had a bunch of covers, and they had a very detailed plot summary.
Please don't read this whole thing, Imran.
Don't you want to know what the plot summary is?
Yes, but you don't need to read two paragraphs on the air.
Okay, so
here, I'll summarize. It's okay, post-dawn, dawn of justice, and basically the government's figuring out how to deal with superhumans, aliens, all that shit, and they decide to create this team. Amanda Waller's in charge of fucking creating this team, and it's all these fucking terrible people. And that's basic. I mean, that's what it is.
Sounds pretty simple.
Here's the thing. In terms of the baddies, single rider for it, like, there's no spoilers. We kind of know who a couple of the baddies are. Initially, their first target is a possessed enchantress. So she's one of the bad guys. Now, while they're doing all this, the Joker's in there fucking things up as kind of a foil because he wants Harley Quinn back. What I read, there was a couple of articles with David Ayers that there's gonna be flashbacks, and it'll be present day Bel-Rev. The flashbacks will be in Arkham Asylum, kind of showing the origin of Harley Quinn, probably. And of course, the Batman is in there. Now, we had talked previously about the runtime being 100 minutes rumored, and this made me very nervous. Well, the runtime has changed again. AMC has revealed the runtime, and it's a lot better. AMC lists this movie taking 2 hours and 3 minutes.
Whoa.
Much. Still shorter than Man of Steel and the other one, but better than 100 minutes, let me tell you. Because if you have 11 characters, you got flashbacks, it's not a linear story, I like the time. You need the time.
Did you see the thing about Batman? The
why don't you tell us about that, Anthony?
Basically, what they're doing is they're trying to make Batman a little bit more terrifying. So you're going to see Batman from a villain's perspective.
I love that.
Which we haven't seen in most of the films, except Batman Begins did a little bit where the villains were seeing Batman come out of the shadows and stuff. But apparently, we're supposed to get how terrifying Batman is to a villain.
I like that you noted that Begins, even though that was due to like Scarecrow's fear toxin, and I think that was
No, it was in like the warehouse.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, that's right.
He's like he's on the docks when he's like pulling people out.
Oh, you barely see him. Yes. And who you love seeing that part of Batman. So I like this take. And Ayers also said that Batman was always going to be in this movie. He was in the script from the start. It was none of this like, oh, let's add him in because he's trending. But I love the fact that we will see almost as like an antagonist, you know, meaning the bad guys are the protagonists, and now we're seeing Batman from their point of view. I love there's bits up there about how in Deadshot's shell, it says, kill the bat. So everyone has these personal beefs with Batman and different relationships. So that's awesome. So if you've seen the trailer, by the way, they put out another trailer, but they added like 2 seconds of Katana and called it like new extended trailer. It's the same fucking Ballroom Blitz trailer or that other one. There's a little bit more Katana, but it's the same trailer. But you see those weird alien black gooey things everywhere. And we're like, what the fuck is that? Well, we kind of find out what it's called. It's vague. I don't know what this is. It's called the Adversary.
Mm.
And this thing has henchmen called Eyes of the Adversary, which may tie into some of the Joker's henchmen eyeball guys.
That's strange.
Yeah. So they're just calling, and whether Joker is part of the adversary crew because they're with him. We don't know. So looks like they're going to go up against Enchantress. They're going to go up against the adversary. Meanwhile, the whole time we're going to get a flashback of like Harley Quinn's origin. And then the whole time the Joker is just popping in and out, fucking things up. I like it. I like
right,
that.
I'm down for
right?
this.
I like that setup. And last bit of news, industry, movie people, whoever they are, they're tracking this movie for $125 million opening box office weekend.
It could happen.
It could happen. I mean, Deadpool made $134, and that was like out of nowhere. Guardians of the Galaxy, $94 opening. So in between there.
$125, wow.
$125 is a pretty – pretty high estimate, but I think the buzz and the anticipation for this movie is going to build because it's going to come out right after San Diego, and you know they might even screen this fucking thing at San Diego. So, in the next coming weeks, we're going to hear more reviews and more reactions.
Good. I'm waiting.
I love it. We'll be there day one. Next thing, let's talk about Wonder Woman movie.
Ooh,
that is. I think it's finished shooting. Here's what's interesting that's come out. This Wonder Woman movie must have gone through some major script changes in the last year. Because originally, this dude, Jason Fuchs, was reported to be writing. They even talked about it in some interviews last year. But his name now is nowhere in the credits of this movie. According to a press release released by Warner Brothers, the Wonder Woman screenplay was written by Alan Heinberg and Jeff Johns, with a story by Zack Snyder and Alan Heinberg. So that part makes me a little nervous. They've also put out a synopsis, and it's pretty much the synopsis is sticking to the original kind of origin of Wonder Woman. She's on this island. A plane crashes with a man saying, "We need your help. There's a big war." And she goes back with him to help man fight this war. Blah, blah, blah. She discovers her powers. Very traditional, kind of your traditional Steve Trevor Wonder Woman origin.
What's cool about it, though, is I think it's set in World War I, and when everyone sets these war movies in like the modern 20th century, they always pick World War II. So it'll be nice seeing a different setting.
It'll be, you're going to see the big wide brim metal hats and gun and the rifles with the bayonets at the end before, fully automatic weapons. But
trench warfare.
Trench warfare. But if you think about, I love this because I love it's risky, but think about the first Captain America movie, how they pulled off a period piece in the 40s and it was awesome. And Wonder Woman also comes out of the 40s. So I like what they're doing here. So regarding the guys writing this, this is Alan Heinberg's first movie. He's worked on television exclusively until now. He's wrote for shows like Sex and the City, The OC, and Grey's Anatomy, but he's written for some comic books. He helped relaunch Wonder Woman after the Infinite Crisis miniseries. And then, of course, you got Jeff Johns. However, I feel like Jeff Johns showed up a month before they started shooting, and now this dude, Jason Fuchs' name is nowhere on the script. Ruggs, is that worrisome, and is it worrisome that it says story by Zack Snyder?
But do you think he rewrote the entire script or just smoothed it out? Like, I don't think can't you rewrite a whole new script before you start shooting a movie? I don't think you can do that.
No, he must have gone into, but they removed the other dude's name. So that makes me feel like he changed a lot of it. Like, why would they take
maybe
that guy's name out?
Maybe they changed the essential plot, but could have kept some of the dialogue. I don't know. It's a lot of heavy lifting to rewrite a whole entire script that's going to be shot for a movie that's banking a lot of money.
Yeah, at that last minute that he showed up and started getting really involved. Now, Ruggs, what do you think about – I feel like as much as we bash on Zack Snyder as a visual storyteller, his stories that he comes up with, they're not always horrible. It's the execution, I find.
What do you mean?
That's horrible. In terms of
you agreed with the fact that instead of leaving room for the Superman-Batman confrontation that happens in The Dark Knight, to use that as the crux of a movie and ruin that moment forever?
And you know what? And then wasn't Sucker Punch his entire story?
Was it
Snyder?
Yeah.
Are you talking about Snyder?
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, I looked at the P, guys. Snyder fucked up. Sucker Punch was all Snyder.
So, and there was nothing good there. So, Anthony, when it says for Wonder Woman, story by Zack Snyder and Alan Heinberg, what does that make you go?
Scared, but I mean, I think, I mean, you also said, though, that there's been a ton of rewrites on this, so
and I think
we'll see.
This is what I think happened. Obviously, Zack Snyder's in charge of Man of Steel and Batman vs. Superman, and he's supposed to be have something to do with Justice League, right?
Well, so he's directing.
Yeah, so basically, he's already has to have input, so everything ties together.
I see.
So I think that that's his credit. That's why he's getting that credit, because they must have thought of the overarching story that's going to cross into weave into all these movies. So he's got to get some kind of a writing credit for that.
So that, yeah.
I would agree with that. And I'd also say, like, he probably doesn't have a ton of input on that. He just has to know where this ends.
Right.
Where Wonder Woman ends, so that he can pick up sort of in Justice League that story, that thread. But I don't think he has the time to be writing Wonder Woman along with directing Batman versus Superman and directing Justice League. Like, I don't think that's possible.
Bottom line, if all Zach has on this movie is half of the story credit, it could be okay. It might minimize the damage that he
would
cause.
I don't think he was on the day-to-day thing. I don't think that he was on the final draft of the script. I don't think he was involved in any of that. I think he was just the setup guy, and that's it.
All right. Well, let's hope that's true. I can't wait to see this movie. It's exciting, the little tease that they put out with her on the horse and all that stuff. And I'm sure, again, San Diego, we might get some more footage. Last bit of DC movie news. Matt Damon has come out and said, hey, I'd play a superhero, but only if my buddy Ben Affleck is directing the movie. So, of course, the obvious joke is, hey, you can cast him as an older fucking Robin to your old Batman. But that's just the first joke. What do you guys think? Can you see Damon? I mean, he's Jason Bourne. Could you see him as a DC
imagine
superhero?
He was Nightwing?
Well, that's the thing. Nightwing? I think he could do maybe a decent Hal Jordan Green Lantern.
I think
he would do a better Booster Gold.
Booster Gold.
Just make a Booster Gold.
I think he kind of said it tongue in cheek, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I don't see it happening. I don't know. I think he's a little I don't think he's a little older. I don't know who he'd play. I would maybe go with like an old school Golden Age character or something like that. Maybe like an Alan Scott Green Lantern or something like that.
Single Rider 4 loves it. He says, oh my God, brilliant on so many levels. I mean, it's like, it's very meta. You think about their relationship and I don't know. I think you're right. Some kind of, I like the older, the nerd factor is blowing my mind. He was just joking, but you never know. They could have a lot of fun with it.
We'll see.
All right, let's move on to some Marvel news. And, of course, it's going to be about Spider-Man Homecoming. Real quick, we got a couple more. First of all, Tom Holland, it's awesome because he posted a photo of himself behind the scenes on Instagram, and you get a really good close-up look of the web shooters. And so, you know, the photo is what it is, but I just like that they let him post this on his Instagram. Like, it's such a great idea to get people connected to him as Peter and show his personality a little bit. And it's kind of a neat shot up there. I don't know. He's out there. You could see like,
it's weird.
He must be on a crane. There's like crew on the bottom and some safety bags that he's going to jump on.
Not only that, but the blue on his costume looks very dark compared to what I've seen in the other stuff.
Yes. The blue does seem to shift colors in different, like over here, it looks fine. And then some of the other stuff, it's like bright and it's got those fucking lines on it, which I'm dying to know what those lines are. I'm gonna have to wait at least another 6 months. There's also some video out of them filming a couple of scenes, like Twitter video, and it's kind of cool. You see he's hanging there, he drops down, there's a biker, maybe the guy's stealing a bike, he webs the bike guy up and grabs the bike. Real quick video. But the most important thing is they've said that Michael Keaton has not started shooting his part yet. And that there will be a homecoming dance in Homecoming as the title. So it's going to be a nice high school. So there'll be a little dancing, a little web slinging, a little fighting all next year, July, for Spider-Man Homecoming.
So Imran, you're going to love this. And Rugboy, good chance he might not like it.
Okay.
Rug, so far, what do you think that you're hearing?
That's just my prediction.
I think your prediction may be close to accurate. Rugs, honestly, though, right now, what is your feeling on this movie with the what little we know?
I don't know. As I said, I'm going to wait till the movie comes out. But from what I see, I'm not impressed at all.
You're not impressed with the casting, the crazy diverse cast? No. Okay.
Big deal. Am I crazy that they're casting everybody out of Disney and it's like a Disney high school TV show?
It almost is like a Disney movie. This makes me a little bit nervous.
I mean, does it make me happy? No, I want it to be good. I mean, all of this casting news and ooh la la, look at all these people out there. Who cares? Like, I want the movie to be good.
Yeah. No, in terms of the tone of the movie, they did this other thing that came out. They recreated like the poster for Breakfast Club with all the cast in the same position. Yeah. And I kind of like that homage. Like, they're really like, look, we're doing this John Hughes 80s kind of feel. So it was fun. But
I mean, it might be cute. It'll be a cute movie. It'll be like a Deadpool light movie. That's what it's going
to
be.
Right. That movie's got to earn some stuff. So, well, we'll continue to fill you in. Guys, San Diego Comic-Con officially starts a week from today, Thursday, July.
Oh, no shit.
21st. So there's going to be a lot of news coming out. We'll probably be recording a weekly show, and we'll hit you with some of the early stuff and then follow up with the rest of it. We know Marvel will be there and all the TV shows. We know Fox isn't going to be there. But James Gunn made some comments regarding possibly some tech they're going to try to use to stop 6,500 people from leaking footage, exclusive footage that people paid money and traveled a long way to see firsthand, only for it to be ruined and put on the internet immediately.
Is it like some kind of technology that when your phone tries to record it, it scrambles it?
Possibly. This is what he says. He goes, well, you might see something if you're in Hall H on July 23rd with me and the Marvel panel. Or if someone secretly films that, which is less likely to happen because of new technology, but I still know sometimes happens, then you'll see it right after. If not, then it will be a short while. So it's unclear, but there are cell phone jammers. You know, I've heard some movie theaters early on incorporate cell phone jammers so that the phones wouldn't go off. The thing is, people are going to be sitting outside all day. I don't know how you can control this for the brief time that these people are in the room.
I have an idea.
Okay, hit us.
You know when you go to the movies and you watch a 3D movie, you got to wear those 3D glasses?
Yeah.
And if you don't wear the 3D glasses and you look at it, it's all blurry?
Oh,
Kind of interpolation technology where you have to wear glasses to see the picture clearly, not to make it 3D, just so you could see it clearly.
I like where you're going, but then you can just hold up your phone in front of the glasses.
Yeah, but then, first of all, that's really obvious.
Oh, that's
second
true.
Of all, it probably wouldn't work. You probably need stereo vision to see it.
That's kind of a neat idea from – I can because I've seen
– I invented something.
I like that. That's awesome.
Get a nerd.
Patent pending, everyone. We're inventing this. Patent pending. Nobody steal it. But yeah, I've seen stuff like this where if you can see it only with certain glasses on, you take it off and it's all jittery or disjointed and completely not visible. Whatever it is, it'll be interesting to see what gets leaked, how they control this.
Well, WB, I mean, they kind of – were ahead of it last year. They basically released trailers right after their panel.
That's the other thing you could do.
But then that ruins the experience for the.
Why go to the show?
Why even go? Yeah.
Why bother?
Although there is something special about being there, seeing it for the first time, and having like all the actors or actresses on stage.
True, you are so still seeing that. It. Yeah, you're still seeing
and
still, it,
and you're still time. In the same room as the people that you're watching the video of.
Yeah, you're part of the moment.
Yeah.
You really got to want to just, you know, you want to be there. You're going to want to go there. If you're going to go that you want to be there, you're going to go anyway. So,
but you're going to get more, if they're ahead of it, you're going to get more polished footage. Whereas when I went to San Diego Comic-Con in 2011, I saw Amazing Spider-Man footage and he literally, you could see the wires on him still. Like it was not finished at all. So that was kind of cool. Like you're seeing stuff that literally hasn't been touched yet or polished.
I love that. We'll probably get a bunch of that this year for like Thor, maybe. By the way, did you see they're building these giant sets in Australia of Asgard, of Thor? Like, huge blocks wide. It's pretty cool.
Cool.
Last bit of movie news. We had talked about how Captain America Civil War, the movie, was the first movie to break $400. $400 million. I keep downplaying the money. It made $403. It made $400 million. And people were like, nothing's gonna top that. It's probably gonna hold this. Well, Disney has topped themselves. Finding Dory has earned $408 million. Passing Civil War to become the top grossing movie of the year. No, I have not.
Anthony?
No.
I heard it wasn't as good as Finding Nemo.
Like, I was so over Finding Nemo. Like, I didn't even like that movie at all, really. It was
I
cute,
love Finding Nemo. It's cute. But did, have you seen this, Ruggs?
No.
No, I didn't see it. So
I got to tell you how unplugged in I am to things that aren't even Marvel movies. I didn't even know this movie was out.
Right? It's a sequel 7 years later or whatever.
Oh, it's been a while, right, to Finding
Nemo. Yeah, Finding Nemo came out a lot. Well, these Pixar movies take like 5 years to fucking make because, the process.
Well, they're usually always pretty good, right? Pixar movies
are generally always very good, yes.
They are good, but they're kind of like the same formula and the same characters,
yeah,
and even the same look in their animation. Like, you take that fish right there and you slap some tires on it, it looks like the guy's
Cars. Well,
you're right.
So it's right. Here's the thing: is like it depends on the creative team. So this is, I believe, this is the Brad Bird team. Is this the Brad Bird team? No, the John Lasseter team does your Finding Nemo's, your Toy Story. It all has that look. The Brad Bird team does like The Incredibles, which is one of the first movies that has like all people, you know, for Pixar, actual people, not animals. Yeah. But then Inside Out was really good. And that was a very different Pixar movie. So it kind of depends on which team is working on the movie.
The last Pixar movie I saw was Up.
Up is another. That's a great one.
And I never wanted to watch a Pixar movie again because within the first 20 minutes, I almost started crying.
Dude, it's the best.
I didn't ever want to feel like that again. So I have not picked up a Pixar movie.
The first 20 minutes is a masterpiece in dialogue-less storytelling. Let me tell you.
I watched Zootopia.
How was that? That thing is killing too, dude.
What is that?
I mean, it's not that I didn't like it. I just was really like, they're really beating a dead horse here. Like, I can do anything if you try thing. And I was like, ugh. I'm like, for a little kid, it might be nice for them to watch it. But I feel like it's one of those things. Here, you're entitled to everything.
Yeah,
I gotta
boy.
Correct myself.
Your life is never going to be shitty if you try. You know, it's one of those movies.
I got to correct myself. It's not DreamWorks. It's Disney Animation Studios, which is actually different than Pixar, even though they're both under the same umbrella.
That is the studio that used to make like the 2D cell animations, yes. And now they've dropped that. Ruggs, but to your point, that's why Inside Out was so great, because that it was a different message. It was the message that, hey, it's okay to be sad sometimes. Life is not always happy, and you need that happy to balance out the sad, which I thought was amazing for them to put in a kid's movie. But people are raving about Zootopia. Captain America and Zootopia remain way ahead of Dory. Check this out, though. Currently, Disney holds 4 of the year's top 5 spots at the domestic box office: Finding Dory, Civil War, Zootopia, and The Jungle Book. And they've also got a stake, of course, in Fox's Deadpool, since that's Marvel property. They're fucking making money left and right everywhere.
Disney, yeah, they're killing the game. They basically own movies right now in terms of box office draw.
Absolutely. Last thing in the movie news segment, you guys are going to be excited. Godzilla Resurgence. We've got a runtime and we've got a synopsis of the movie.
Okay, go ahead.
It's coming out later this month. There's a promotional video they put out. The movie clocks in at 118 minutes.
Not bad. Whoa.
Less than 2 hours.
Not bad.
That's pretty long.
And here is your quick synopsis. It's still pretty vague. A cause unknown, an accident has occurred in the tunnels of the Tokyo Bay Aqua Line, causing an emergency cabinet meeting to convene. Immediately afterwards, a huge creature appears, destroying town after town with its landing reaching the capital, the mysterious giant organism named Gojira. Boo!
So he shows up and fucks shit up, they have to try to figure out what to do.
There it is. We don't know any details, and there's no plan to release this in the Americas. You guys, are you more or less excited now with this little?
I saw like a little bit of a video game app or something, video of Shin Gojira, and it looked okay in the video game form, but I don't know if that's what we're going to see in the actual movie. If it's going to be that puppet that they made. That they're using. They're using a giant puppet.
It is confirmed the whole thing is a puppet. None of it is a guy in a suit.
Japanese chick is cute.
She's, I think the video is all in Japanese too, right? I don't know.
Yeah. She is cute. Holy shit.
She in the movie?
I know. I'm just watching this featurette that's in this thing you've linked. The synopsis, I'm too plugged in. I already knew that. I mean, you could have predicted that synopsis.
I mean, it's not nothing earth shattering.
Yeah.
But the fact that they put it out, like, there's no, they're trying to, I mean, I think they're doing a good job of keeping most of it tight-lipped and putting out what they want to put out and what they want people to know.
I don't know. How much screen time do you think Godzilla's going to have in this movie?
6.5 minutes.
I definitely feel like they're going to go like the old school, like King of the Monsters 1954 style, where you don't know what it is. It's like this terror threat, and you don't see Godzilla until like the very end.
You see like parts of him or shadows.
Yeah,
or
I think they're going to go that route too.
The less is more thing, A. Ronsville said. Yes.
More like, I think they got to go less is more too, because that costume looks awful.
How many, Jordan has a good question. How many full body shots of Godzilla will be in the movie? What do you think?
I think maybe like 10 seconds worth.
Yeah, because he's got wide fucking childbearing hips. The fuck?
Yeah.
Like Barney, I don't know if he's a he.
Oh, it's a he, it's a she? Is it Godzilla? Is Godzilla?
The 98 version?
Was a woman? Was a girl?
Or was it a boy? I think it was both. But that doesn't count. That was an iguana.
It's asexual.
Yeah, it was asexual.
It's all sexual. I would hate to be the person who has to check if Gojira is boy or girl. That's a shitty job right there. Okay, that's the movie news. Let's move on to some small screen TV news. Again, starting out with the DCEU. Everyone's favorite recurring villain on Arrow, John Barrowman, Malcolm Merlyn. He's been promoted to series regular, wait for it, on all of the CW DC shows.
Oh, shit.
Wait a minute.
Really?
Yes. His role is going to be expanding. He's been promoted to series regular on Legends of Tomorrow, The Flash, Arrow, and does this, and Supergirl. I think.
No, it's
the three. Of course.
It's Flash and Legends of Tomorrow, it looks like.
So he goes from, you know, he was the big bad in the first season. Then he kind of comes back in the third season. So Arrow, Flash, Legends of Tomorrow.
It doesn't even say Arrow necessarily. I think he might be on Arrow, but it looks like Flash and Legends of Tomorrow are the ones that are listed.
I mean, you know, as much as like we talked about the character needs to die, because like why you keep trusting him? I love the fact that he pops up out of nowhere all the time. He's still currently, isn't he still Ra's al Ghul?
No. Nyssa al Ghul is.
Oh, that's right.
That's why he was helping
with Damian Dark. Yeah.
He got screwed over.
Look, I love John Barrowman's Malcolm Merlyn. So I'm happy we're going to see more of him and to be promoted across all the shows. I feel like this Flashpoint is really going to change everything. And all
I'm hoping.
That's awesome.
My initial thought on it was I wasn't all that into it, but we'll see. You mentioned the Flashpoint thing again, and that opens up possibilities for different itinerations of Malcolm Merlyn.
Speaking of the Flash.
Yeah, you screw the pooch with this Flashpoint shit, like, then it's all over. Then you ruined all three series in one shot.
I know, this is kind of, it's a big risk. They're taking a big risk with all the things. Speaking of the Flash, we got a couple of cool set photos, including one, Keenan Lonsdale, who plays Wally West, who is finally in the yellow kid Flash costume.
Geek Booner.
All season, they're teasing us with the Jesse Quick and the Keenan Lonsdale, Wally West kid Flash. When do they become speedsters? Here you go.
I don't like it.
What don't you like about it? You don't like the costume?
I like everything except for the mask. I think it shows too much forehead or something.
I mean, it's similar to the comic book costume where the top of the head is open.
Oh, is that okay?
Yeah, but I just feel like it goes down too low.
There's some of it seems a little bit bulky in some of these, like it doesn't fit quite well. But there's also, you know, he's had the silver costume and this yellow costume. But more importantly, another shot of him shows him walking next to another speedster, a dude in black with a gold lightning bolt down his chest. What the fuck is going on here?
It's Wolverine Flash.
It's Wolverine. It's Logan Flash. Look at this guy. It's not Zoom. You guys know, I looked up a little bit who this maybe could be.
Isn't it the Black Racer?
Bingo!
Geek Booner!
Talking nerd! The Black Racer is a speedster that kind of has, he's an aspect of death. He has death power. Now
it's like a death god inhabits your body for a bit or something like that.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. He can just kill you, I guess, by touching you. But he's a speedster. Now this begs the question, you guys. Look, we know the show. It's called The Flash. It's about a guy who runs. Are there too many speedsters? Is this getting too repetitive for anyone? The last season we had Zoom. This season now we may have Black Racer. Too much speedsters.
Yeah, oversaturation equals boring.
I don't know how I feel. On the one hand, they got a great Rogues Gallery. You know, show us some more Mirror Master. Show us some of these other guys, Weather Wizard, that we haven't seen in a while. On the other hand, this is called – it's the Flash. In the comic books, there's fucking a million speedsters everywhere, and it's part of the mythology and the world and the canon, and the Speed Force is speedsters.
But the thing is like, they're not even creative with their speedsters. But, like, at least in Marvel, like, Yo-Yo, like, she can only run fast for, like, a couple of seconds.
I love that limitation.
They all have the same exact fucking powers. They all just run fast.
True.
Like, there's other ways you can make it more interesting.
But they have different color pee coming out of the back of them. That's what sets them apart.
I don't have a problem with the – going back to Kid Flash. I think his costume looks all right, to be honest. But, yeah, I agree. The speedster thing's getting repetitive. Just like in Arrow when you had Thea and – Ollie and fucking
too many archers.
Too many archers going on. Like you can't have that many people of the same powers. It's it gets too repetitive.
It's like all of a sudden all of the Avengers have Captain America's shield.
Yeah, exactly. That's what makes the Avengers so good is that not only do they dress differently, but they're all different. They're literally all coming from different origins.
Yeah, variety. And the Flash has a lot. I mean, they've played with a lot of the characters, and there's a lot of non-speedster bad guys they could use. We'll see. They'll be running around in circles.
Who knows? I mean, we don't know if this Black Racer guy is a recurring villain or a villain of the week, so we'll see.
Let's move on to Marvel TV news. Speaking of, we're talking about X-Men on TV. Now, we know there's a pilot for Legion on FX. There was plans for another Marvel TV show called Hellfire. About the Hellfire Club. Well, that show's been scrapped. They ain't doing the Hellfire. What they are doing is 20th Century Fox and Marvel TV are teaming up for a new X-Men-based pilot on Fox.
Oh, shit.
On main Fox. The series is untitled. There's no characters mentioned. The only thing we know, it's an action adventure with two human parents whose child develops mutant powers. So you can imagine they're going to be on the run from the government, constantly moving, a little bit of like the Incredible Hulk TV show in the 80s. But the people working in this combined effort is pretty interesting in terms of Fox and Marvel working together. Brian Singer's on this, Lauren Shuler Donner, Simon Kinberg, and Matt Nix joining Marvel's Jeff Loeb and Jim Corey as the production staff. So now, is this the start of Marvel and Fox playing nice with their mutants?
I hope so. I thought this was originally when I read it big news. Then I thought about it a little bit, and I think when Fox was developing X-Men TV shows, there was some sort of like contractual thing where they needed to get Marvel's approval anyways on it.
Oh.
So they kind of had to like maybe play nice to do this kind of stuff. So then it makes me think this isn't as big as news as it should be. Also,
I think the movie deal is a lot more loose than the TV deal.
Yeah, and I also think, as we've discussed on the show, Marvel TV and Marvel Studios is a little bit separated as well, so maybe this is the first step. I think we're a long ways away from the movie crossing over.
Well, from what I understand, that this show is not even part of the Fox X-Men universe at all.
It's not a part of any canon, right?
No. So that I wanted to ask you guys, will this be X-Men light? Or could this possibly have potential?
I don't know. It depends on what they do, really. Like, if it's like a Morlocks type thing, or like some kind of like, you know, unknown group of mutants that somehow banded together and just were taking care of each other before like Xavier's school comes into play or something like that. Or maybe they're just too far away. They can't get there. So they're just kind of holding it down in their little area. That would be cool. But it would be considered, by all intents and purposes, as X-Men light.
You know what I think they should do is maybe like in the first episode make a fleeting mention to X-Men, but then you basically disregard that the X-Men are even in this universe, because every show that's kind of like playing with other characters, but not really, like Gotham, Supergirl, even to a certain extent like Flash, Arrow, even like Smallville, they always like hinted at like a bigger thing, and everyone's just waiting for that other thing.
Yeah.
So if you acknowledge that there's another thing like the X-Men there, then everyone's just going to be like, why don't the X-Men just show up? You know, yeah. So you have to almost ignore the thing that's going to make this show popular. Like, what's going to make it popular is that it's associated with X-Men, but you have to ignore that in the plot.
Blech. You know what? That's like a fucking Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Thing now.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is another example of
yeah.
that.
Yeah, and it's such a shame because the X-Men universe, it needs to be told on TV in a serialized soap opera type environment where you don't need special effects every episode, because a lot of it is relationships and how the world treats you. You could do it a lot on a budget of maybe a CW show, you know, if you're afraid of putting in all the mainline X-Men and all their powers. But they're not going to do that. It's going to be another Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. bullshit X-Men light deal. So
we'll see. I mean, there's no plot summary out even yet or synopsis. So.
No, but we're getting more comic book shows. Last thing I got about television is if you listen to the show, you know that neither Anthony or myself watched the Game of Thrones. Now, I know we should have our nerd cards revoked. Rugboy, you're a big Game of Thrones fan.
I am. It's a great show.
And from what I heard, the last season was just crazy. And it was
Hold the door.
If you want to talk about the budgets of a TV show, like almost being like, it makes it feel like a movie.
Yeah.
That's what Game of Thrones does. It makes it feel like you're at the movies. It doesn't feel like a TV show at all.
I heard that this one big battle, they actually spent like 25 days filming it. When most shows get 8 days to film the whole episode, they spend 25 days filming like a just the battle part. And it's probably fucking amazing. Look, so listener, if you're like us and you are not on the GOT, I got a great video for you put up by Game of Thrones. And check the links in the show notes, jockeynerd.com/115. HBO has put out an official Game of Thrones beginner's guide narrated by an uncensored Samuel motherfucking Jackson.
Oh, shit.
It's pretty good. He leaves a lot of things out, but in about 7.5 minutes, he takes you through all the main things that happen. It made me really want to start watching this show now, because his narration is great. And by the end, he's like, "You still want dragons? Here's your motherfucking dragons." And he's like, "All right, now go watch." And it was really funny. You guys definitely check it out. And it'll get you for the guys of people. I think for people who are on the fence, I think if you watch this, you're going to, because the shots and the whole storyline of the White Walkers that he's telling me, I was like, "Whoa, shit, that looks awesome." I kind of want to see this.
It really is a good show, so it should be watched by somebody.
All right, check out the video. Let's move on to some comic book news. Well, I am a child of the 80s. I'm old, listener. I may not sound old, but as a child of the 80s...
You're actually not that old. I just make fun
of you. I'm 63. No, I'm not 63. Look, I'm 40. It's the new 30. Anyways, there's a great 80s crossover comic book coming out a lot, and they had just come out. Disney IDW came out with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Batman crossover, which was a lot of fun. Well, everybody, we're gonna get a He-Man Thundercats comic book crossover.
Geek Boomer.
Whoa!
How awesome is that?
I would buy that. I'd like to see what that's about.
The art is done by the same guy who did the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Batman crossover. Freddie E. Williams II. DC Comics is partnering with Toy Titans for a 6-issue series, and it's written by Mattel head writer, Masters of the Universe lead creative Rob David. This is the first time these two franchises will have cross paths outside of, you know, my toy box back in the 80s.
Basically, now, were you a He-Man fan, Imran?
I was. I loved both of them, and I liked the She-Ra.
Can you just tell me what He-Man's about for someone like Anthony who probably doesn't know?
And Thundercats, please.
Oh, boy. So He-Man is Prince – what was his name? Prince Adam?
Yeah.
Was kind of
– He's Dolph Lundgren, right? Wasn't that
He was Dolph Lundgren in that horrible movie, Masters of – the universe. Anyways, Prince Adam, there's a Castle Grayskull, and there's a sorcerer, and he gets, when shit goes bad, he has a sword he pulls out and says the words, "By the power of Grayskull, I have the power," and all this electricity, lightning zaps, turns him into He-Man.
So it's basically Shazam with a sword, basically.
Yeah, and okay. So while he's Adam, he's kind of like a meek It's funny though. He's hung. He's like huge as Adam and like completely helpless. And then as He-Man, he's just still huge. And his cat, his tiger pet, turns into Battle Cat. They fight. Who's the guy? Skeletor is the bad guy.
Right.
So similar Thundercats. You got a race of these cat people, and Lion-O has a sword called Sword of Omen that he also similarly pulls out and says, Sword of Omen, give me sight beyond sight, and it shows him where shit is going on. So the story of this crossover is going to be Thundercats villain Mumm-Ra is searching through alternate dimensions to find a weapon more powerful than Lion-O's sword, Sword of Omens. Mumm-Ra finds Eternia, which is where He-Man and friends live, and tries to grab the He-Man sword to take down the lion.
So what if Voltron shows up with the blazing sword?
Oh, shit. Then, oh, my God. Then I'll just have a geek spasm all over the comic book, and it'll get
then you'd be crossing swords.
Those would be the three unbeatable swords, right?
Lots of sword crossing. Don't cross the streams. This is coming out this October 2016. Check it out.
I'm happy for you guys. I'm happy that this inflates you guys.
Finally,
it's going to be shit, but I'm going to check it out.
You know,
I'm going to be realistic. I'm not like Aaron. Garbage, but I'm going to pick it up.
It'll be all right. It's really more for the nostalgia of it.
The crossovers are usually never any good, right? It's usually some convoluted shit. It's just the fact that you get to see these on the same page.
It's a little gimmicky, but
that's how I feel about Godzilla comics. If the IDW or somebody's making all these Godzilla comics, and some of them are okay, some of them have Matt Frank drawing them, which are cool. But for the most part, they're not the best comics. Like, they could be so much better, but whatever. I'm gonna buy it anyway. I'm gonna enjoy every second of this shit.
Batman TMNT one was just okay. It was all right. It was decent. Yeah. It wasn't the greatest.
Even if you look at like movies that have crossed over, right? Like Alien versus Predator was bad.
Yeah.
Freddy versus Jason was bad, but it was entertaining bad.
Yeah. The crossover really has yet to like have a huge hit. It's always like you go in there going, okay, this is just, it's fun to see them on screen.
Well, because it's easy. You just take two icons. I mean, it's not easy in that you have to figure out all these rights issues and who gets what. But then once you figure it out, you're just like, all right, you put these two on screen or on paper in this case, and it'll just sell. Like, you don't have to come up with anything.
Yeah, clever. King Kong versus Godzilla.
King Kong versus Godzilla, yep.
There you go.
It draws the audience. So speaking of the comic book industry, Ruggs, remember we were talking about how the movies are kind of – or the comic books are now structuring the movies because the movies make a lot more money. I found out that the North American comic book industry is worth roughly $800 million.
Right.
That's like one movie. To your point. However, I've seen stories. Yahoo Finance posted an article saying comic books have been outperforming stocks since 2008. And that year is interesting, being the year Iron Man came out and Marvel Studios kind of launched this new craze.
For value?
Yes, in terms of investment and holding their value.
Right.
They've been outperforming stocks. Here's the couple of the interesting bits. June was the biggest month the comic book industry in sales has had in 20 years.
Oh, shit.
June?
Right.
Since December 1997, there's the breakdown right there. We remember the 90s speculation comic book bubble, but this is not like that kind of speculation bubble. But it's an amazing increase in sales for this month. Civil War II was leading the sales. It sold like 400,000 copies, and Batman sold 400,000 copies. Part of the reason for this is kind of DC's rebirth and all these number ones flooding the market in June.
You had the number ones, and then you also had Civil War.
And you had this huge Civil War event.
And the hype from the movie. So you had two things going on at the same time.
Well, you got all of these things that are happening. You got these crossovers. You got rebirth. You got all of these executives that are now involved with Marvel and DC, you know, diversifying everything and trying to appeal to every niche now. There's a lot of gimmicks. There's a lot of things going on. So you got to watch out. I mean, look, as long as people are interested, but I hope it's just not a fad that people are hopping on for these gimmicks, and then they're gonna be like, "Ah, this sucks. Dan Slott wrote this."
Well, here's the thing. You're right. It's all these unique things. I don't think it's gonna sustain these steals, these sales.
It's like those Chromium
forward.
Covers and all those fucking gatefold covers. It was a thing, and everybody bought it, and then nobody cared.
That was the problem in the '90s.
I'll just say this though. You have to be somewhat happy if you were a comic book fan that people still buy this, even though it's kind of a gimmick.
Right.
At least like there's still an audience that like, or either there's an audience there that's been tapped into, or a new audience is like coming on. Because you know, you don't get these numbers without something like that
happening. No, and you know, with the back issue kind of comic book stores going out of business and less comic book store, it's pretty remarkable that they're able to pull these sales now. It's going to be up to, you know, DC's Rebirth and this Marvel Now thing, which we'll get into with their number ones, to see if they can keep it going. But I think it was just a perfect storm this month to hit these high numbers. So
I don't think it's going to stay this way.
No, it's definitely not. But I was surprised to see numbers back at 1990s levels. That's fucking crazy. All right, gang, that wraps up the news segment. Let's push forward.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hey, Imran.
Hey, Rugboy.
Wouldn't it be great, since we're putting out all this content, that our listeners could support us? Maybe we had some kind of, like, website or a way for them to do that?
Rugs, that's a great idea. Give me 1 second. I'll be right back.
Jock and Nerd.
Okay, it's all set up, listener. Just visit jockandnerd.com/Patreon.
Wowie zowie!
Patreon is our virtual tip jar where you can donate any amount of money either per month or a nice large sum all at once. And on that Patreon, you get bonus content, as Imran mentioned. But if we hit certain plateaus every month, we improve our production quality. We get better equipment. We get on more platforms. It only helps us. So please get onto patreon.com/jockandnerd or jockandnerd.com/Patreon and support the show.
Jocktastic! I hear change jingling in your pocket. Don't fucking fuck me over, guys. Do it!
What up, homies? My name is John Medina, and this is a promo for the Just John podcast, a weekly show where I talk about whatever the hell I want, which tends to be tech, movies, music, games, comics, and way too much about Star Wars. Basically, it's a conversation I would have with my friends in the living room, only I'm having a conversation with you, my friends, on the internet. You can find the show on SoundCloud, iTunes, YouTube, and Stitcher by searching The Just John Podcast. And you can follow me on Twitter at JohnnyM_Revo. So come check out the show, and until next time, peace out, fam.
Are you afraid of what goes bump in the night?
Have you or your friends ever pondered a conspiracy?
Do you want to know more about the unknown?
If so, then put on your tinfoil hat, sit down, and pick up your computer, tablet, or phone. Go to iTunes or YouTube and search for Secret Transmission Podcast and listen to us try to explain the unexplainable.
Follow us on Twitter for updates on shows.
At Secret Trans Pod. That's SecretTransPod.
Or you can email us suggestions
at secrettransmission@hotmail.com. That's SecretTransmission@hotmail.com.
Doc and Nerd.
So the last Jock and Nerd Weekly, guys, I kind of filled you in on a DC Rebirth update a little bit. I want to fill you in on the Civil War 2.
Imran, before you go into your review, like tell the listener and Rugboy what happened, if Rugboy isn't aware.
Oh yeah,
and I just want to hear what Rugboy thinks initially before you review it.
Rugs, do you know the deal?
What, did I read it?
No,
it's, you know the news, right?
It pretty much
somebody dies.
Yeah, yes. There's in Civil War issue 3 that just came out yesterday. There's a death of a major Marvel comic book character, and it's kind of got spoiled. I had it spoiled before it even came out. I checked. I didn't want to.
It was all over like news sites.
Yeah, so I'm gonna hit this now.
Spoiler,
listener, if you haven't read Civil War and you don't want to know, just check the show notes. You could jump ahead to the next section. But Rugboy, they've killed Bruce Banner.
Oh shit.
Bruce Banner, okay. The Incredible Hulk, gets killed by Hawkeye.
Hawkeye shot him in the arrow. Shot him in the head with an arrow.
Yes.
Bruce Banner.
Yes. I'll explain what exactly goes down, because it's actually pretty good. I'm really enjoying the Civil War series so far.
Because I flipped through it briefly, and I had no idea what the fuck was going on. But yeah. I shouldn't, because I haven't read the first two issues.
All right. Look, If you guys don't want to read the Civil War, I'm going to catch you up real quick right now. Basically, Captain Marvel has found this new Inhuman named Ulysses, who can tell the future. So after Captain Marvel chose to act on one of these visions, it causes She-Hulk to get put in a coma, and Rhodey is killed.
Yeah.
Which instantly enrages Tony Stark, because it's his best friend.
Right.
So he kidnaps Ulysses. He does a brain scan on him. He doesn't want him to use his powers. He wants to figure out how do you actually do this? What's going on? While he has him there, the whole other team, because Carol Danvers is now like leading Avengers with S.H.I.E.L.D., they all show up to Tony to bring Ulysses back, right? At the end of the last issue, issue 2 of Civil War, Ulysses figures out a way to give everyone the vision that he saw. And the vision that they all see at the end of Civil War II, it's awesome, is the Hulk killing everybody.
Oh, shit.
This is what's supposedly going to happen.
Whoa.
Right? So issue 3 starts out at a trial. It's kind of a neat structured story. They're at trial, and in between the trial is the flashback to what happened. Matt Murdock is calling Carol Danvers, Tony Stark, to the stand. What happens is when they go to find Bruce, the team is split. Tony's like, look, Bruce, we saw that you're going to do this. We don't. And he's like, so you don't know what to do. Stop me before I Hulk out, or wait until I Hulk out and possibly risk people dying.
Right.
Tony says, we're split. We need proof. We need more proof that this may happen. What? How do they get their proof? Hank McCoy hacks into Bruce Banner's computer to discover that Bruce has been experimenting on himself again with dead gamma cells. Now, Bruce hasn't Hulked out in a year. He starts to get agitated right there, this confrontation. He's like, look, I haven't Hulked out in a year. These experiences have been helping me not Hulk out. In the meantime, Carol's like, with S.H.I.E.L.D., Maria Hill, we're going to have to place you under arrest, Bruce. Bruce is getting more agitated, slightly agitated, when all of a sudden, out of nowhere, out of the trees, a green-tipped arrow comes flying out, chunk right through the heart of Bruce, goes down, he's dead.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, but that's going to create the Hulk.
I'll tell you why it's not. They run over to the tree, and what do they see? Clint Barton Hawkeye standing there with his hands out, pretty much saying, go ahead and place the cuffs on me. So this trial, it's the trial of Clint that they're cutting back and forth in this story. And they pretty much ask him, why did you do this? He tells them, earlier, before anything happened, Bruce asked me to take him out. Bruce came to me. This is an uncorroborated story. There was no one else there. He says, Bruce came to me. He says, I trust you to make the hard decision. You are the only one who could do this. I don't want it to be too late. You take me out. He gives him this gamma irradiating green tipped arrow. And also, he mentions, like, his visual acuity. So Clint basically says, I saw his eyes flash green, and I had to take him out. And Tony Stark is, dude, I was standing right there. I didn't see him turn into the Hulk. Did anybody see him hulking out? Clint's like, no, I saw him. That's why he picked me. I have good vision. And they show you the panels. There's not any green in his eyes in these panels, which a little bit to me feels like it's a kind of an allegory for like this Black Lives Matter movement, in the sense of this guy is acting based on assumptions and he didn't know what was going on. But so then it goes on, you find out that Carol has been using Ulysses this whole time to stop a lot of shit. Tony is fucking enraged. He's like, you, Hawkeye murdered an Avenger, a founding Avenger, my friend. This is bullshit. The team starts to split. Miss Marvel, Miles Morales, and Nova are suddenly like, this is fucked up. I think I'm on Tony's side. They're about to read the verdict at the end. We don't get the verdict, but at the very end, Friday, his gal Friday, has figured out how Ulysses' powers work. And they show, and he go, and at the very panel, she shows him something, and Tony's like, they're like, what is that? And he goes, it's our future. So they figured out Ulysses' powers work. What's interesting is Bendis, this is written by Brian Michael Bendis, art by David Marquez and Copiel. This is an interesting flip. This is a little bit of a character assassination of Carol Danvers, of her side of being an Avenger and working with S.H.I.E.L.D., and Clint Barton a little bit. And Tony is on the other side, and he's just pissed. So holy shit, good stuff. I enjoyed it. What do you guys, any thoughts? What do you guys think?
Well, I have the issues. I haven't read them yet, so thanks for spoiling it.
I gave the spoiler.
I'm sure that I'll get something more out of reading it. It sounds interesting. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it's a return to the same shenanigans that they did with Winter Soldier and the first Civil War. It sounds like, you know, par for the course. Sounds like they're shaking things up. They got the green Amadeus Cho Hulk right now. So
that's we still correct.
Have a Hulk.
That's correct. So it's not like there's no Hulk. There is still an Amadeus Cho Hulk out there. Anthony, comment?
I mean, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how the story plays out. We know that eventually it'll go back to status quo, but, you know, for if you're along for the ride, I hope the writing is good. The only thing I'll say, and I know that Civil War is not done, so it's too early to pass judgment on it. But my biggest pet peeve with these crossover events, when you look at like Civil War and then you look at X-Men versus Avengers,
yeah,
it's when good guys are fighting, they always tend to make one of the good guys kind of a bad guy.
A dick.
It seems like that's happening again. And I think that's lazy writing. I think you can still present it like the way the movie did, where neither guy was necessarily a bad guy.
Because
if you look at the original Civil War, Tony Stark became an asshole.
Yes.
Started recruiting villains. If you look at X-Men versus Avengers,
Cyclops
became the villain.
Yeah.
And it looks like they're going down this path with Carol Danvers.
Yeah.
And I hope that that's not the path they're going on, because I think it's lazy. And I think it actually ruins a character long term.
Good.
More so than they think.
Yeah, I agree with you, Anthony. The only thing that I'm going to say in defense of this is that for the most part, Marvel seems to be like a step ahead of the fans in a lot of this stuff. Like when that thing with Captain America came out and he was Hydra, they were like a step ahead of the fans. The fans couldn't figure that one out. And
yeah,
they had this little gotcha, you know, thing.
Yeah.
So with this Hulk being dead, you know, I have a strong feeling that he's going to be back. Everything's going to be status quo. That gives me a little comfort when I read Marvel, that I know that they'll eventually make everything right again. But sometimes, like with Brand New Day and stuff like that, you're like, fuck this. This is ridiculous. So as long as it doesn't go that far, I'm on board.
Can I also interject real quick? I'll also say Marvel's done a good job, better job than DC in terms of creating events. Now, they might be just gimmicks like the Black Captain America, female Thor, Hulk dying, all these things that have kind of put them in like mainstream news cycles for like at least a day or two, like, and or the Captain America being Hydra.
Yeah,
like they've done a good job of creating publicity around their comics, whereas DC, other than the Watchmen thing, hasn't been able to do that as often. So like every, like it seems like every 2 months Marvel's in mainstream news, like they did this with their character, they did this, so it's creating buzz around their
good job
product.
Yeah, they're doing a good job. No, I agree. Look, if we do get a Hulk back, I think it might be like, it could be a year from now. Now, you guys, here's the thing, you guys, like, it's gonna return to status quo coming out of Civil War into Marvel now in October. There are gonna be shifts in the status quo. And we will get into that in the listener feedback segment, because I got a whole little bit there. But let's move on to the next thing.
The Jock and Nerd Podcast.
We're going to take a break from the nerd stuff and do a little jock stuff. Anthony.
Oh, shit.
I'm throwing it to you. Why don't you give us a little recap and your thoughts over last week's UFC 200 event?
So there's actually been like four UFCs within the past week.
Oh, what? Four more?
Yeah. No, like, well, including 200.
Okay.
Lots of stuff happened. But 200 overall, I mean, I said this before to people off the air, but it was just kind of a letdown because of the whole John Jones thing.
Nah.
So like the first fight with Cain Velasquez, he's a former champ, was good. And then from then on, it was just kind of boring.
Who replaced John Jones?
Anderson Silva, who's the best pound-for-pound fighter at one time in the world, but he was moving up in weight. He was fighting on 2 days' notice.
Total
dad body. Like, the fight almost played out like both these guys were like, we don't really hate each other. We're not really...
Just give me the check.
Yeah, let's just get... the Brock Lesnar fight was entertaining in that it was Brock Lesnar, but it was predictable. If you thought Brock Lesnar was going to win, it was predictable in that sense in that he just kept taking him down. And then the main event was Miesha Tate, who, that was the only thing that was shocking, but it wasn't really main event worthy. So overall, 200 was kind of a letdown.
Brock Lesnar won, and you had the other guy, and Miesha Tate lost?
She lost the title?
She lost the title.
Holy shit.
Amanda Nunes, who's actually made history as the first openly gay fighter to be a UFC champion.
Wow, good for her. Overall, kind of a letdown then, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, especially when you compare it to their other milestone event, which was UFC 100.
Yeah, how was that? Event,
well, that was, you know, 6-7 years ago, but that one was epic. Like, you had Brock Lesnar, you had Dan Henderson knocking out Michael Bisping. It was just a ton of really cool stuff happened in that one.
Did I read this correctly? Maybe a misinformation, but did the UFC get sold?
Yes. This is, I'm glad you brought that up.
They got sold for $4 billion.
Holy
wow. Sold what to what?
Yeah.
The Fertitta brothers who own the majority of the UFC sold the majority of their stock, let's say, or their equity to WME IMG Talent Agency, which represents a ton of different talents and artists and all that stuff, and a bunch of like other firms and banks and tech firms invested in the UFC as well. But yeah, the total valuation was $4 billion. The Fertitta brothers are basically minority owners now. Dana White, I'm not sure if he still has an ownership stake. If he doesn't, then he just made $360 million because he had a 9% stake.
Oh shit.
He's still gonna be on, but there's no new owners of the UFC. It's the largest sports deal sale of a franchise in history. Franchise sale in history.
Now, do you think it's going to get bigger than it is, or do you think it's reached its apex and it's going to die off?
That's tough to say. If they are able to expand to like international markets and really get a hold on that, I think I don't know how much more you can go up from $4 billion. But I will say that the UFC has expansion efforts going into like Asia and Europe and South America, and they're also kind of, they have their TV deals about to go up, and that's going to, those rights will be a lot more per year. And they're also kind of ahead of the game in terms of their subscription on online. You know, they have a subscription fight service online where there's fights online and all that stuff. So they're kind of ahead of the game. And then I think that's where these investors are looking at. They're like, the UFC has an online on-demand platform. They can still go into other countries. The TV rights deal is going to go up. So
is there any way this sale could hurt the UFC?
Only if the guys that are running it don't know anything about fighting.
Yeah.
But if they've got the thing that helps is they've kept Dana White on.
Right. You need him. He's the heart of the whole fucking thing.
Right.
Yeah, I thought that he was gonna skedaddle. He's like, take my money.
I thought he was gonna leave too, right? Wasn't that the rumor?
I'm surprised he's sticking around. But there's a rumor that he's gonna get like, I'm throwing this number out there, but I think he's supposed to get like 9% of the total profits every year.
Oh, shit.
And like last year they made $650 million. So he's going to get paid, you know, I read somewhere, the math is off, but I read that he's going to get paid as much as like Roger Goodell makes per year, who's the head of the NFL.
The commissioner. So that's the case. Wow. Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're going to like, you're starting to legitimize this as, you know, up there with your NHL and your NFLs, you should pay the guy the same kind of salary as a commissioner.
As an investor, though, I think what was most appealing about the UFC, which sucks for the fighters, is like most big sports pay at least 50% of their revenue to the talent.
Okay.
The UFC for some, well, obviously to make money, but they've been able to get away with paying like their talent like less than 20% of
their revenue. Shit. Oh.
So that's why the profit margins are so high.
Oh, that's a little bit of...
But all the fighters are like, shit, you just sold for $4 billion and I'm getting paid 10 grand to get my face punched in.
Plus, you took away all my fucking sponsorship money with these goddamn uniforms.
That's a whole nother discussion, but yeah. The sale is very interesting.
The $4 billion, like what is it about $4 billion? Same amount Disney bought Marvel. Same amount Disney bought Lucasfilm, I believe, was also $4
billion. Lucasfilm was $4 billion, so Lucasfilm and UFC are the same valuation.
Jesus. That's a good way to put it. That's pretty big, man. Good. Hopefully they grow it. It's right up there with your MLB and your fucking everything.
It'll never be that big in my opinion in this country, just because there's a certain segment of this population. There's a lot of people in this population that just can't stand the sight of blood and fighting.
Boxing still, but isn't that pretty popular? No.
No. I mean, boxing used to be in America, boxing, baseball, horse racing, and things have changed.
So what, in your opinion, what is America's national pastime right now?
Football.
It's football.
100%.
It's not baseball.
Look at the numbers anymore for the Super Bowl. There are 100 million people watch the Super Bowl.
All right.
It's football and then...
He almost looked like he wanted to fucking punch you in the balls.
Look, I'm asking a question.
Like, he looked at you with such contempt. He's like, fuck you, asshole. It's football.
I didn't think
soccer. How do you not know that?
I didn't think soccer was that popular.
Well, the reason why football is because it's one time a week.
Yes.
It's not a huge commitment. And
it's a huge event.
And it's like American Gladiators. You're seeing people fucking smash into one another, but it's not fighting. So it's under the guise of not fighting.
Yeah, it's like a war. It's a battle. Yeah.
It's a battle, and you see it one time. There's no commit. Like, there's very little commitment to watching football. You watch it one time a week, 16 weeks out of the year.
Right on. Well, thanks for that recap. I was wanted to get some closure after all the fighting and the punching and the bleeding.
Next big one we'll discuss is 202.
Who's fight? Do we know anything about that?
Conor McGregor versus Nate Diaz, part two. We'll discuss next
time. That's a good. All right. 202 upcoming. Let's get to some listener feedback, people. Mr. Antihero sent us a couple of tweets that made some good points, and it's a good topic for discussion.
He's been on the show.
Kevin McPartland's been on the show. Free Comic Book Day, and he helped us review X-Men Al's Pack of Lips.
Correct.
Which was very it was about someone's lips. But he, in response it was about the whole movie was about her lips. In response to our last Jock and Nerd Weekly, where we talked about Rebirth and comic book titles, he says, "I think the reason superhero comics are mostly trash is because they only serve as market research for movies. Are there any current runs from Marvel or DC with more than 50 issues?" And I was like, oh shit, there aren't. There is no run from Marvel or DC that is over 50 issues currently.
No, the only one I could think of that was a long run for the same writer was Bendis's Ultimate Spider-Man.
And that was a long time ago.
It's because
that was like 100 issues or something.
I've read this, I think, but it's because the marketing powers that be don't trust that if you're into that number of issues that a new reader is going to want to jump on. Like, they don't trust their audience enough to be like a reader is going to look at that and be intimidated. So that's why you always get these reboots. They don't trust that because it has 900 issues, there's so much history. People are just, they think that casual fans intimidated by that. That's why you get constant reboots.
It's so interesting how, like, that's flipped. Now you have smaller titles like Walking Dead and Spawn. Walking Dead's in the 150s. Spawn is in like 200 something. Like, I believe that's like the longest running title currently now.
Savage Dragon, too.
To be cool when, like, I remember reading that, you know, when Spider-Man hit 200 or 300 issues, like,
it was a huge thing. Yes.
Like, everyone was like, this is awesome.
And usually,
that's not cool according to the market. Well, people,
I watched that documentary that you were talking about the comic book
store. Comic book heaven. Yes. What'd you think?
And the guy said something so important. He's talking about these old conventions that they used to have. And he said that some lady that was basically in charge of, the new comics at Marvel said that they're no longer in the back issue business. They're going, because they used to make comic books that made you want to go and get the back issues.
Right.
That everything was tied together. It was a long continuity. And then they would always make nods and winks and say, go to check out this issue, and the editor would give you a little wink and a nod and you'd go and get the book. So now they're like, they never refer to the old comics. They just keep pushing forward, and they're just one and done, like one arc and then done. And they just want to keep plugging, jump here, jump on this, and never go back to the back issues.
Mm. Yeah, that was a very important point. And I found this article tied to this topic on Newsarama. And the question being, does Marvel really publish ongoing series anymore? And what is an ongoing series? To your point, you guys, like you said, I was upset when Amazing Spider-Man ended at 700, I was really like, what? You're fucking ending at 700? I would love it to get to 1,000 or something. But like you said, Anthony, Amazing Spider-Man 300, first appearance of Venom. Amazing Spider-Man 200, I think that was the one where he grew like two more arms and it was like a crazy Morbius story. These were milestone issues that you worked up to. And even as a collector, you would buy the last 10 issues of something, and you would read that, and you would go back and find the last 10 issues before that, and that's kind of how you built your collection. Nobody does that anymore. It seems that every time there's a creative change on these books, it used to be that the books would continue. The creative team would change. The arcs would change. The numbering keeps going. Nowadays, though, it feels like TV seasons. Every time there's a new creative team, they're like, fuck it, let's start over at number one again. No one's going to understand this. And it's kind of a fuck you to the longtime readers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is.
So
the TV season analogy, though, is perfect. It is like every time a new crew gets on, it's like, this is season four.
Captain Marvel, for example, has been relaunched for the fifth time in so many years. Five times in 5 years. Every year, they're fucking relaunching this shit. So I want to mention what's happening with Marvel Now, because their Marvel Now preview magazine came out also yesterday. This is very interesting. What you guys said about coming out of Civil War, it's going to go back to the status quo. This is what they're doing. This is the restructuring. Some of the books are dropped. There's some new books starting at issue one. And some of the books are continuing their numbering from the all new, all different Marvel from before. So it's a little confusing. Now, here's what, in terms of Spider-Man comics, if you're a Spider-Man reader in October after the Civil War in Marvel Now, this is the books we're getting. This one's a weird one. They're bringing back Amazing Spider-Man Renew Your Vows, number one. Now, if you don't know what that is, during Secret War, the last Secret War, all the Marvel Universe was fractured into little universes. This was one of the universes where Peter was married to Mary Jane and had a daughter named Annie who had powers. Kind of like the Superman Lois Lane Jonathan Kent thing happening at DC Rebirth.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting is there's no just Amazing Spider-Man title. That's a little weird. The other Spider-Man titles we're going to get are Spider-Gwen, Spider-Man, Miles Morales, Spider-Woman, Spider-Man 2099. That's it. They've dropped the Web Warriors, and that's your Spider-Man. Now, a couple other funny things is the amount of adverbs, adjectives they find that start with the letter U to put in front of heroes. So here's what you're getting. You're getting the unbeatable Squirrel Girl, the unbelievable Gwenpool, uncanny Avengers, uncanny Inhumans, the unstoppable Wasp, the unworthy Thor, which is Thor, original guy Thor Odinson. And we still haven't found out what the fuck Nick Fury whispered in his ear at the end of Original Sin to make him unworthy. They still haven't told us that.
You forgot the unoriginal bullshit.
I was going to say, what would you add to this? This is the unoriginal bullshit. So now Iron Man, after Civil War, I think Tony Stark is done. There's two titles of Iron Man. These titles, again, lots of great.
We talked about this, though, right?
Well, a little bit.
We talked about the black girl.
Invincible
being
Iron Man being, yeah, Riri Williams, 15-year-old black girl, MIT, made her suit in her dorm. The other title is The Infamous Iron Man, and this is Dr. Doom. This is post-Secret Wars Dr. Doom taking the mantle of Iron Man.
Lex Luthor being Superman.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit. Oh, the other Spider-Man title, which is that we talked about the limited series, The Clone Conspiracy, but that's a 5-issue limited series. Rugs, they're bringing back some weird characters. The Fool Killer is getting his own title. Do you remember the Fool Killer from the 70s?
Yeah, I do remember the Fool Killer.
What was his deal? Didn't he just snap and just become start killing people? I can't.
He was like a Punisher type character.
That doesn't seem smart at all.
No, and then there's another. So Thanos is getting its own title. Do we really need a Thanos title?
We don't.
I mean,
but
they might want to have a presence if he's going to be the big bad in the Infinity War.
Yeah, and you see how they're restructuring this?
Now, drop him up a little bit.
Speaking of their properties, Jessica Jones is getting a new series. Coming back from the end. So, you know, they're and then the rest, I'll put a link in the show notes. You could see all the titles.
The Great Lakes Avengers?
Great Lakes Avengers.
That was something before, right?
That was something before. They just patrol fucking Lake Michigan and Lake Superior. And they hang out up in the UP. I don't know.
Yeah, they just go fishing a lot.
Why does the Great Lakes need an Avengers? How much fucking crime is happening in Lake Huron? I don't know. they're rebooting some titles. Hawkeye, Gamora, Cage is getting a title. There's a bunch of Avengers titles, Black Widow, Mosaic, which is a new Inhuman. Anyways, this October, and Venom has a number one title, which that's interesting. I wonder if they're still going to try to do a Venom movie. Like, a lot of these, you got to look now and see what they're trying to set up. Like, now that Mark Ruffalo, once he's done with his contract, they're going to be like, all right, here's your Amadeus Cho Hulk that everyone knows in the comic books. Now he's Hulk.
I don't think anyone's going to want that, though. I mean, a lot of people are tied to Bruce Banner as Hulk.
It's true.
I mean,
and I kind of like the Amadeus Cho as Amadeus Cho.
He's the totally awesome Hulk now. That's his official title.
I mean, what is the awesome Hulk? Like, is he as powerful as the Hulk? Like, what's the deal?
Do you know? Do you read it?
Nah, I don't know. I was going to get the first issue and I didn't. I'm not sure how. I'm sure some gamma shenanigans and he was practicing.
I mean, as I said, like, just having more Hulks, it makes Hulks less special to me. You know, like, I thought the greatest thing about the Hulk is that he's the only one that knows what it's like to go through this shit. And now everybody's the Hulk. It's just for me, it makes everything lesser.
Everybody's the Hulk. Everybody's Captain America. Everybody's Iron Man.
They did sort of tease Amadeus Cho in Age of Ultron. Do you remember?
The girl, wasn't she? Oh, yeah. That was his.
Amadeus Cho's mom.
That was his mom, yeah.
Who, the Korean chick that makes Ultron's body.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
So he will eventually show up.
Yeah, they're leading that way. So how much of this is restructuring? It's kind of interesting what they're doing. Of course, I will pick up the Spider-Man title.
Let me just disagree real quick. I'm not going to go on a tangent, but I don't find it interesting because Marvel does this every like 2 or 3 years.
That is true.
As does DC. Yeah. So it becomes less interesting to me when it happens all the time. It's just a gimmick.
Yeah, and then it goes back to, we don't have ongoing titles. There's right. just event after event, restructuring.
I mean, if the writing is good, then it's good, but I just don't find this being like an interesting thing. It's just something that happens.
The other thing I do like is that the books that I really thought were strong, that I enjoyed, they're keeping the numbering. Like Doctor Strange was really good. That's continuing its numbering. But that's about it, man. I don't know.
I mean, like, even like the characters themselves, they seem to all be embroiled into this like crossover shit or like happenings that have to affect all the comic books. You don't even give enough room for a writer and an artist to sit there and just explore something that they want to explore.
That is actually very true. Like, it's tough to get a writer to get his full take on a character without there being an event comic using that character for something.
There's tons of Civil War II tie-ins that I'm not reading. I'm just reading the Spider-Man ones. But it's exactly what you guys are saying. It's like, this is there's this part of the story in our title.
Well, a recent example is when Hickman's run on New Avengers, he was using Tony Stark Iron Man.
Right.
And Tony Stark Iron Man all of a sudden got pulled into an event and he became like a bad guy. So then they had to like readjust his character to be a bad guy. And then I read also in that original run of that run with Hickman's New Avengers, the Illuminati was supposed to have Magneto. Professor X got killed.
Yeah.
But then the X-Men writers were like, no, we're going to use Magneto. So then he had to end up using Beast. Like, the writers don't have the creative freedom to use the characters the way they want.
That was the inversion. That inversion was kind of cool. I forgot about that, where the good guys went bad and the bad guys went good.
Your characters get fucked with midway through your run.
Yeah.
And then you have to readjust around something that you weren't planning for.
Yeah, that's very true. But that, you know, maybe the sales will get a little bump again in October with all these number ones.
Yeah, they got to get this thing figured out. I mean, look, I think that Marvel's going to fare better than DC.
Yeah.
Just because they seem to know the recipe of how much you could dick around with people before you can snap back to the status quo. DC's really, they don't even know what the status quo is.
No, it's like they're trying to find it, and then it just keeps moving around. Like, hey, let's use the Watchmen. I don't know. last thing I want to shout out is Daniel Musker still in the chat. I don't think he's here. Guys, we feel like proud parents. I want you to follow this Twitter account. It's at Geek Street Pod. It's a new Twitter account for an upcoming podcast called the Geek Street Podcast, by none other than Jock and Nerd listener and contributor to our Facebook page, Daniel Noskar.
Oh, shit.
He's listened to me fucking tell everyone to get a podcast so long that he's decided to start a podcast. I tweeted out, I wanted to follow him because I was like, we feel like proud parents from Jock and Nerd listener to podcaster. And Daniel replied, as you should, same-sex parents with a puppet for a pet. A kid couldn't ask for more. Thanks for the help, guys. He consulted with me on some like technical issues. I'm very excited. This is like first-generation Jock and Nerd out into the world. creating their own show, listening to us have a good time, and just being inspired to go do it. So you guys, and he's actually, this is a good launch strategy, because now we're helping him out. We didn't have no fucking launch strategy. In fact, no, I didn't want anyone to listen for the first couple of episodes.
Yeah, but how do you know he's going to be any good, Imran?
It doesn't matter. I'm there to support. Look, he's listening to us.
So you're going to just, he'll be decent. Yeah, even if your kid sucks at baseball, you're going to be there.
It's my kid.
It's parents, man. It's parenting.
Yeah. Hey, and at, like well, a good does, parent, you know. Like a good parent, I will send him constructive
State
criticism.
No.
Like a good parent.
Get pick up, man.
I will give him honest constructive criticism. But
I think we'll end up probably doing a crossover show.
Absolutely. I want
at
him
the very
to
very least we'll
yeah,
do something like that.
We got to
Now is he a millennial?
You know, I don't know. He was here, and I wanted to ask him the first time he actually joined us for a little bit.
He looks like an older – I would if I had to guess, I would say he's like in his 30s. Like
yeah,
30s,
yeah,
maybe.
I'll agree.
But I'm sorry if you're in your 20s.
Just follow at Geek Street Pod. And the only reason I'm saying this is he put it out there. It says they're launching in August. And I was like, woo, let's get some followers. Let's get a little buzz. And puts the pressure on Daniel to make a good first episode. But remember our first episode? Like, I was like, I hope nobody's listening. Like, it took us a little while.
You sound like you were on
Valium.
Adderall.
Yes.
Oh, Valium. Yeah, Valium. Well, Adderall if you had ADD. Like, it made you just very quiet.
It's so weird, dude, because I will listen to that every now and then. And we literally, it was like NPR style sleepy delivery. I was like, oh my God.
What? You just woke up from like a Xanax induced
yeah,
sleep.
It's so different. And it sounded like we were in a hallway because I didn't know the right recording settings or what the fuck I was doing. But
don't make these mistakes, Daniel.
Exactly, Daniel. Learn from our mistakes. Have some energy right from the get-go. Before you start recording, just put a big smile on your face, hit record, and it will carry through your whole show. Can't be more proud for you, Daniel Oscar. Let us know when it gets started. We'll have you come on. Send us promo. You will play our promo on your show, motherfucker. That's for sure. That's and gang, that's going to wrap it up for the main show. I want to give a shout out to a couple of places, a couple of networks that carry the show. Thank you to A Place to Hang Your Cape, Weeby Geeks, Tangent Bound Network. You can check us out on geekliferadio.com every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. It's like a Geek Life Radio stream. And if you want a cute little t-shirt like Rugboy's wearing there, or any kind of merch with our logo on it, just visit jockinerd.com/shop. It's lots of fun. You pick the logo, you pick the style of shirt or merchandise, the color, a lot of customization. Have it shipped right to you, and then send us a photo of you wearing it so we can geek out over
bottomless.
It. We get yes, just that yes. You can only be wearing the shirt, nothing else. Anthony, what if they want to? What if they want to say hi to us or join the conversation?
Oh, I'm glad you asked, Imran. If you want to get in touch with us, jockandnerd.com/contact. There's email, Twitter, Facebook, fucking snail mail, anything. You can contact us. And if you want to support the show, besides the cheap Patreon plug that we plugged earlier, patreon.com/jockandnerd, or the merch, you can also just go on to iTunes and write us a nice review and give us an awesome rating because that bumps us up the iTunes geek, whatever the side of their fucking page we're on. I don't know.
It helps us out. And I love reading complimentary things. But I just want to reiterate what I said at the top of the show. Listener, if you're still with us and you play Destiny or you have a friend that plays Destiny, you grab their phone right now and you do just yell this at them.
Talking nerd!
And then subscribe them to the show. They're not going to want to miss this Destiny show with Chris Barrett. Right, Ruggs?
Yeah, it's going to be good. Chock full of little goodies for you if you like Destiny.
Ruggs, where can they find you?
Listen, I'm going to be packing up and heading off to Romania.
Oh, bring me back something Roman.
Listen, I don't even know if I'm coming back.
Oh, shit. I hope
I don't know what's going to happen when I don't go there.
Listen, is your Felty passport up to date?
There's a lot of crazy shit going on. I turn the TV on. There's all kinds of nonsense going on all over the place. So I'm a little bit nervous. But and not when I get there. I don't know what kind of voodoo, if that stuff's going to work out, if I'm going to end up having more teeth, less teeth, I'll be bald. I don't know. I might look different.
I can't wait. Listen, somebody might try to catch you with a Pokeball. They might think you're like a fucking Charmander.
My slack hole might be so tight that I can't even come here anymore. Like, I think they might, like, you know, Put a couple of extra stitches in there.
I don't know. A wild rug boy appeared. Throw your Pokeballs at him. What in the pokey fuck is going on, people outside?
While I'm off in the netherworld, you can find me on Twitter at reallyrugboy. Tweet at me. I will eventually read it. I don't know. I'm busy, so... I'll see you guys hopefully in a couple of weeks if I'm still alive.
Listen, you get 100 XP points if you catch Rugboy. I hope you come back, Rugs. Listener, finally, just help us spread the geekery. Tell your best friends about this show. Tell anyone who watches these nerd shows. Tell anyone who loves the Marvel stuff on Netflix. Give them one of these.
Jock and nerd.
And when you pause, they're going to wait and think that you stroked out, but then you'll finish with the second half. And then you tell them where to find the show, jockandnerd.com. Thank you, listener, for hanging out with us. We love every second you spend with us in your ear holes. This is the Jock and Nerd Podcast. My name is Imran.
My name's Anthony.
He's the jock.
And he's the nerd.
And catch all the Pokemon next time.
Good afternoon, good night, everyone.
This is Pokemon Go, guys.
What the fuck is Pokemon Don't? Pokemon stop.
Jock and Nerd.
Pokemon no. All right, we're in the post show. Jock and Nerd podcast. Thanks for hanging out.
Jock and Nerd.
Holy shit.
Dan, where are you right now?
Daniel, what's up, dude? So nice to meet you face to face. Where are you? Are you at work?
Yeah, I am. So I apologize about the noise if it gets loud.
Where do you work? What do you do?
I'm a machine operator, CNC. So I'm going to school full time. I geek out all the time, and this pays the bills. So
yeah, you look like you're in some kind of warehouse machine shop.
Yep, I work in a machine shop. I run a really big drill press. So.
Daniel, I don't know if you heard earlier, but we pimped your show, and I gave out your Twitter account, and I'm just really excited. How is that going?
It's awesome. Thank you guys for doing that. Big fan of the show, and you guys have helped out a lot with pushing the product that me and my buddy are trying to get out there. It's going good. We got our equipment on order, and my brother-in-law is a singer-songwriter, so he's going to do our music for
excellent.
The show.
Excellent.
So we're hoping to have something up within the first couple weeks of August. So
right on. Erica Wood says, what product? Daniel means his podcast. Basically, if you've listened to this show, I'm always telling everyone, you should have a podcast, and you should have a podcast, because really, it's that easy. If you have something to say, everyone has a unique perspective. It's so easy to do. And Daniel is a listener, our first listener to Podcaster. You don't understand how proud. I really feel like a proud parent. Like we hatched an egg right with you, right there. Right.
He walks 10 kilometers.
Nice.
Now, have you...
yeah, super excited.
That's awesome. Have you listened... how long have you been listening to us?
Oh, man. I first started listening to podcasts. I want to say I got hardcore into it this January, and I found you guys like 2 weeks in, so I've been listening since January 16.
How did you find us?
I just typed in like nerd or geek on my app that I use,
right on.
And you guys came up, and so I was like, oh hell yeah, I'll give it a try, and you guys are awesome.
Right on, dude. I love that you post stuff to the Facebook group. Like, it always makes me happy, and you guys are, like, interacting. And, I mean, we'd love to have you on the show when you get started. We'll definitely – you make a promo, cut us a promo, we'll put it in. You can play our promo.
Yeah, we'll help you out.
To me, it's like first-generation jock and nerd is, like, the people are growing up, and now we're sending people out. I love it. Love it.
Two same-sex parents with a – filthy American pet.
That's right.
What else could you ask for? So you feel pretty confident about like your first recording, or are you nervous at all? You got a plan? Yikes.
Yeah, I just got an outline of the show that we're going to do. And we read a lot of comic books. So we're going to talk reviews mainly on comic books and all the shows and stuff. So
right on, man. Don't hesitate if you have any questions. I'm always willing to help, you know. It's easy to fucking
awesome.
Reach out. Yeah. Do you have any questions right now?
No. I mean, I I think I'm using Google a lot. And I read the link that you sent me, how to start a podcast, and I sent it to my buddy who, is helping me with it. And so we're just, going to be kind of trial and error. We're going to do some test runs before we post our official first episode. I got a friend that's a graphic designer, so he's working on our logo, and he asked if we want to get a website going and stuff like that. So,
yes, you do. I love I love that you got all the pieces, man. I love you got original music. That's important. And then, look, basically, just be yourself, have fun. That's it. Those are the only two rules. That's the only two things you need to know. Everything else is going to fall into place. The more you do it, the better you're going to get.
When you record, don't wear pants. That's my advice.
It always helps. I'm freeballing it every episode. And sometimes my nuts get stuck to the wooden chair. But it's okay because I do it for you guys. I do it for
you. Gotta let him hang, brother.
I'm freeballing it, Jerry.
The image that I'm came glad- to my head.
I'm glad the camera's chest high.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. You and everyone else in the blab right now. Look at there. You can see Rugboy's pelvic thrusts. So have you gone back and listened to our first episode at all?
I have not. I might check that out here.
No, don't.
For too much longer.
Don't. Because we were just talking about do it for a laugh because it's literally – like a completely different, like I sound like I'm on Valium and I'm hosting an NPR show. It's really weird. Like I had no enthusiasm or none of this that you see right now. It's, and when I go back and listen, I was like, wow, what were we doing? So it's funny to listen to that now after listening the whole time, but that's the thing for me. I didn't really want people to listen to the first couple of episodes until we kind of got our swing of things, but you have a nice launch strategy. You got the Twitter page up. You're going to get listeners because we're going to tell people to go listen. So
I appreciate it. I really do, guys. I got to jump off really here. Good.
Right on, man. Well, I love a pleasure meeting you face to face. Finally. It's awesome.
You too. Guys, thank you so much.
Take care, man. Keep up.
Hey, thanks for calling in, dude. Enjoy the rest of the show.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, definitely.
Keep posting things on the Facebook group. I love it. I love it.
Payton
yeah.
is actually thinking about starting a video game podcast.
Yes, do it. Here we go. Do it.
Him and his friend Jacob have been talking about it. I didn't know about it until like a couple weeks ago. He told somebody. I think he told my friend Adam on Blab. Like, that's how I found out.
Hey, I'll help him out too. Erica Wood says, Blab while running heavy machinery is probably dangerous. You know what? I've blabbed on a show while I was driving. I've done that. You could, for the 365 Flicks guys, I would just put my phone in the cradle and like, I did it. It's not, I don't recommend it, but, but you can, it's,
Erica, why don't you jump on.
Erica, come on in if you want to say hi. And hey, look, we got an open seat. This is
two girls and two boys.
This is the Jock and Nerd Post show. It's an open seat. Anyone's welcome to come in and geek about whatever you want to geek out about. It's feel free. Whoever wants to jump in, jump in. But man, the more people, I love it. I love like that we inspired him to start his own show. That's awesome. Hey, they're calling in. It's Erica. Hi, Erica. How you doing?
Hi, Erica.
Good. How are y'all?
Good. Thanks for hanging out. Where are you calling from?
North Carolina. I always want to say Georgia because I was like born and raised there and I just recently moved to North Carolina. So,
oh, you miss Georgia?
So you like Georgia better?
It's not much different actually. still mountains, a little closer to the city.
Nice.
Right on. How long you been on the Blabs?
I guess around, because I first found out about it.
83 days?
Martin Scarelli. All that happened.
The downfall of Blab.
It kind of was. So Martin Scarelli got you into the Blab, and now he's not on it anymore, right?
He split. He's not allowed. He's been grounded.
He caused a lot of problems.
He brought a lot of trolls, and the Blab team was like, you need to cool it. And then he just ended up.
Well, I thought him and the guy who came up with it were like buddies.
Mm.
He got on his Blab a lot.
I mean, they brought a lot of trolls. It used to be like a pretty good tight, like pretty good community, and people were bringing their like businesses on here.
It was positive.
And, like,
there was positivity. Yeah.
Lots of like team builder kind of things and like life coaches. And then Martin Shkreli showed up.
It's true. There was so many like business and they fucked it up. There was a lot of business.
Why do people want to talk to him?
I actually like stopped listening to like his bull crap because I just wanted to know like what the big deal was.
Yes.
And after I stopped watching him, I actually watched a lot of like entrepreneur stuff, marketing yourself, because I'm a hairstylist. So
Excellent. Yeah, there was
Then now that's all gone.
Yeah, they,
I don't see much of that anymore either.
Hey, but Martin Shkreli did bring the furries.
Oh, he did? That's good.
Yeah, because he brought Ruscio, and then Ruscio brought him.
You know, the few times I watched him, they did have, like, it was kind of interesting and similar to you, Erica. I was like, what is the deal with this guy? Like, initially, after all the drug things came out, and he was in the news every day, and then we're on Blab, and Jordan's like, fucking Martin Shkreli's on Blab and he has 400 people over there. I was like, what? And I would check it out and it was interesting. And then eventually that just devolved into, like, at first people were asking him legit questions.
I actually talked to him a couple times.
Yeah, Ruggs got on and the dude knows his pharmaceuticals. He knows his drugs, if anything, right? And I almost, a lot of people would turn around, but then it just like devolved into like, I don't know what it was. Sometimes he would start the show. He wouldn't even be talking. He would just start the show and like look away and like.
He'd be sleeping on camera.
The show would just go on.
Would still be like pouring in. And I was like,
yes. Like, Rugboy, didn't you go in one time and you asked him about jail and he was like, fuck off.
He hates to talk about like the cases and stuff like that and him going to jail. He hates the thought.
That's
like,
bullshit, though.
He threw me a bunch of times.
I thought he was okay. Like, that's what I thought was cool. Everyone was like, no, you could go and ask him whatever. He'll answer you. But clearly not when Ruggs is like, what was jail like? And he's like, ah, fuck you, and bounce. That was, and that actually, we caught it on the podcast, and it's in the show. Yeah. But it was a great moment. Blab has given us a lot of amazing moments.